Jaya Rara Madhava Kunjabi Kabijana Balaba Giri Varadari Jaya Rara Madhava Kunjabi Kapijana Balaba Giri Varadari Yashorananda na braja jana randana Yashorananda na braja jana randana Yashorananda na braja jana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jairadha Madhava Kunjabi Kapijana Valava Giri Varadari Yashora Nanda Nagraja Jana Ramana Yashora Nanda Nagraja Jana Ramana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jairadha Madhava Kunjabi Kapijana Balaba Giri Varadari Yashora Nandana Vraja Jana Randana Yashora Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yaradha Madhava Kunjabi Kapijana Balaba Giri Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravija Acharya Ashtotara Satya Shri Srimad His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ananda Kota Vaishnavinda Ki His Confounder Acharya His Divine Grace Shri Prabhupada Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Kablaya Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nishinamana Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauranga Vishnana Nidhi Vishnana Sundar Bhadra Pasvati Devi Sitara. Hare Krishna. So, Madhumati is going to do the Sanskrit and English translation. So we need to get her microphone.
Kamam dahanti kritino nanu rosha drishtya. Rosham dahantam utatena dahantya salyam. Soyam yad antaramalam pravisham bhibheti. Kama katan punar asya mana shayeta.
Word kamam, lust, dahanti, chastise, kritina, great stalwarts, nanu, but, rosha drishtya, by wrathful glances, rosham, wrath, dahantam, being overwhelmed, uta, although, they, na, cannot, dahanti, subjugate, asahayam, intolerable, saha, that, I am, him, yat, because, antaram within, alam however, pravishan entering, bibeti is afraid of, kama lust, katham how, nu as a matter of fact, punha again, asya his, manaha mind, shayeta take shelter of. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Great stalwarts like Lord Shiva can, by their wrathful glances, overcome lust and vanquish him. Yet they cannot be free from the overwhelming effects of their own wrath. Such wrath can never enter into the heart of him, the Lord, who is above all this. So how can lust take shelter in his mind? Purport. When Lord Shiva was engaged in severely austere meditation, Cupid, the demigod of lust, threw his arrow of sex desire. Lord Shiva, thus being angry at him, glanced at Cupid in great wrath, and at once the body of Cupid was annihilated. Although Lord Shiva was so powerful, he was unable to get free from the effects of such wrath. But in the behavior of Lord Vishnu, there is no incident of such wrath at any time. On the contrary, Bhrigu Muni tested the tolerance of the Lord by purposely kicking his chest, but instead of being angry at Bhrigu Muni, the Lord begged his pardon, saying that Bhrigu Muni's foot might have been badly hurt because the Lord's chest is too hard. The Lord has the sign of Bhrigu Muni's foot, Bhrigupada, as the mark of tolerance. The Lord, therefore, is never affected by any kind of wrath. So how can there be any place for lust which is less strong than wrath? When lust or desire is not fulfilled, there is the appearance of wrath. But in the absence of wrath, how can there be any place for lust? The Lord is known as Aptakama, or one who can fulfill his desires by himself. He does not require anyone's help to satisfy his desires. The Lord is unlimited, and therefore his desires are also unlimited. All living entities but the Lord are limited in every respect. How then can the limited satisfy the desires of the unlimited? The conclusion is that the Absolute Personality of Godhead has neither lust nor anger. And even if there is sometimes a show of lust and anger by the Absolute, it should be considered an absolute benediction.
Thank you. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Sarapaya Chakshuram Vilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurudeva. So as I think most of you know, we just returned from a six-week pilgrimage to the Holy Land of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sat at the feet of Giriraj Govardhan for 3 weeks. And so this morning, I'd like to discuss today's purport and this incident of Bhrigu Muni testing the three main deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, and compare them to, of course they can't be compared to, obviously these are great personalities, but at least the endeavor can be compared to. So I'd like to compare to this testing of Bhrigu Muni and the spiritual retreat that we spent 3 weeks with hundreds of devotees studying Srimad Bhagavatam and the Goswami literatures. What are the similarities to the experience we had, along with others, and this gathering of sages that resulted in the test executed by Bhikkhu Muni. First, a little bit about retreats or seminars or kirtan festivals or any gathering where devotees come together to glorify the Supreme Lord in one form or another. The particular form that we undertook were two different retreats, one on the holy name and the other essentially studying Srimad Bhagavatam. What is a retreat anyway? Has anybody ever been on a retreat, spiritual retreat? Yes, Ramathakur Devaprastha Mataji. There are times when we step back from our ordinary life, and for our benefit and the benefit of others, immerse ourselves in the holy name or the Shastra. This is something that's a time-honored tradition, and we find many instances of it in Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures, where those who spend their lives working hard for the benefit of others take some time off and consider questions that may face the society of devotees or people in general. So to do that, these retreats are characterized by things like to refresh our practice, to refresh our practices. Even Srila Prabhupada had the same idea with the Mayapur and Vrindavan festivals back in the 70s. His reasoning was, come to the holy dham, hear and chant, and recharge your batteries for going back and preaching all over the world. And so that's what the devotees would do. They'd come together with Mayapur and Vrindavan. And spend their time in different pursuits to refresh our spiritual practices, to go deeper in our sadhana and study, and to confront our doubts in how they may be affecting our practice of Krishna consciousness. So retreats generally focus around these kind of themes and benefits for the participants. And not only are they in line with some of the same things, same objectives Srila Prabhupada had when he called all the devotees together, not only are there similarities to that, but similarities also to the role of sages in human society. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on this story of Bhrigupati, of Bhrigu Muni testing the three main deities, has said that the sages that undertook this did it for a particular purpose. And that purpose was to eradicate desires, not desires, doubts that may be, that may affect the devotees. He says, talking about the role of the sages in society. Sometimes you might think they just go, sages go off to a quiet place, separate themselves from the world. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti gives a different understanding of the role of these sages who may retreat from the world to focus on the Supreme Lord. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the sages were engaged in dispelling doubts of men. Thus engaged in dispelling the doubts of men, the sages attained liberation. So the purpose of the sages in this situation was specifically to dispel the doubts that may arise in the hearts as we practice Krishna consciousness. Particularly this question was considered by the sages mentioned here as determining who is actually the Supreme Lord. It's a difficult subject. Here in this section of the Bhagavatam, it describes how Lord Brahma, well, Narada Muni, had some doubt, is Brahma the Supreme Lord? And so these doubts may be there in our practice, and the role of sages in society are to consider these things and find solutions, find answers, remove the doubts that may be there in the hearts of men. Similar to our situation, we couldn't be more fortunate in one sense, because we have the perfect example of Srila Prabhupada. We have his books, recorded lectures, personal instructions, all these things we have to guide us. In one sense, you'd wonder, how does the question ever come up? Is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And for those coming from a background where there's not a lot of study of the Vedas or delving into philosophical topics, but rather just simple acceptance, Prabhupada said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We accept Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in a sense, we're favored in that way, where we don't have to struggle with questions like an impersonalist might struggle as he studies the Shastra. But we're not free from doubts coming up. Doubts which affect our dedication to our spiritual master, to the Krishna consciousness. We're not free from these things affecting our heart until we become completely purified. And what's the solution? What's the answer to that situation? Study of the Shastra. This is the role of sages in society. To study the Shastra, to consider these questions, and for our benefit, dispel doubts that may arise now or in the future in our minds and hearts as we execute Krishna consciousness. So this pastime of Bhrigu Muni testing the different deities is described in the 89th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 89th chapter. And it describes that long ago, on the shore of a river of Saraswati, a discussion arose amongst a group of sages as to which deity was chief. And they deputed Bhrigu Muni to investigate the matter. So Bhrigu had to have a test. He decided he needed a test to make this determination of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, who is supreme. And as described it by Prabhupada in the purport, he chose tolerance, the quality of tolerance, as the litmus test for who is supreme. Tolerance, because it's more difficult to control wrath, tolerance of wrath, it's more difficult to control than even lust. Seems like an amazing statement, but wrath is worse than lust. The example given is Lord Shiva burning Cupid to ashes. He could conquer lust in that regard, but he couldn't get free, completely free, from the contaminating experience of wrath. We should note this. Sometimes wrath may tug at our hearts, even in dealings which seem to be about devotional topics. Should be very wary, be very wary of wrath. So Bhrigu Muni decided to choose tolerance as a quality which he would use to investigate. So first he approached Lord Brahma. And who was Lord Brahma in terms of Bhrigu Muni? Is his father. Brahma is the father. And so, particularly in the Vedic context, respect to elders, not to speak of your parents, is something that is tremendously important. So to test Brahma to his limits, what did Bhrigu Muni do? He came in the presence of his father, Lord Brahma, and purposely didn't offer any words of respect, any actions of respect. He just sort of walked in. That's a no-no in Vedic culture. At least you have to acknowledge something, but to speak of Lord Brahma. And what was Lord Brahma's response, reaction? He was going to kill his own son. What kind of a different value system do we place today? There's no respect for elders, parents. But Lord Brahma, it's described actually that he could, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a nice explanation, an example how Brahma controlled his wrath in this situation. Although affected by it, he's still controlled. Let's see. Upon testing Brahma by committing a mental offense to him, Bhrigu understood that Brahma could not overcome the motive passion. Bhrigu then went to the superior Lord Shiva and committed a more serious offense by verbally insulting him. So Brahma couldn't control the motive passion. Therefore, Bhrigu went on to his next person, which is Lord Shiva. And in case of Lord Shiva, not only did he disrespect him, but what did he do?
Probably insulted him.
Yes, he insulted him. He called him a heretic. I won't look for it now, but he called him a heretic. And again, Lord Shiva's response was he was going to kill him for making that offense. No, actually, these things doesn't seem like much, but that's because we're so uncultured. It is a lot. But anyway, Lord Shiva, he also wanted to kill Bhrigu for his insult, verbal insult. But Parvati came to his rescue, calmed down Lord Shiva. But then probably the most amazing of all was Bhrigu testing Vishnu. Now, we all know how we have our private spaces. We don't want anybody to invade them. So what to speak of Lord Vishnu? Bhrigu Muni went directly into his private quarters where he was with Lakshmi Devi. He was actually laying down with his head on Lakshmi Devi's lap. He was in his private quarters. So Bhrigu burst in, unannounced, and did the most grievous type of an offense by kicking Lord Vishnu in his chest. So what was the response? The response is simply amazing. Coming down from his bedstead, that supreme goal of all pure devotees, bowed his head to the floor before the sage and told him, "Welcome, Brahmana. Please sit in this chair and rest a while. Kindly forgive us, dear Master, for not noticing your arrival. Please purify me, my realm, and the realms of the universal rulers devoted to me by giving us the water that has washed your feet. The holy water is indeed what makes all places of pilgrimage sacred. Today, my Lord, I have become the exclusive shelter of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. She will consent to reside on my chest because your foot has rid it of sins." Not only was Lord Vishnu not disturbed, and as described in the purport, thought wanted to apologize because his chest was so hard, but he felt purified.
and the footprint of Bhrigu Muni. His response was beyond the modes of nature, the ordinary modes of nature, and it was described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as Sudha-sattva, not the mode of goodness in this material world, but transcendental mode of goodness. So, Bhrigu's conclusion, which he described to the sages, is that Vishnu is supreme. And the sages, being satisfied, understood that the purpose of this entire exercise was to clear the doubts of men that may arise. Just like the objective of the retreat gatherings that we attended. Attended the retreats we attended, the purpose being to give us stronger footing in Krishna consciousness, to work to improve our spiritual practices, and most importantly, practice Vaishnava culture, Vaishnava etiquette with the members of the retreat. Therefore, I would recommend that if you get a chance to attend something that's out of the ordinary, even here while we were gone, the Holy Name Retreat was there. There's so many different scheduled programs in those kind of situations, which give us a chance to experience Krishna consciousness beyond just our daily exercise, interact with devotees from different backgrounds, share Sankirtan stories, or share realizations that we had. One of the features of retreats is gathering in smaller groups and talking about what the main subject matter for the day was. So you meet devotees from all over the world. I was fortunate to meet with Satchinandan Swami, Krishna Sachi Swami, Pancharatna Prabhu, and sometimes Burjan Prabhu, in little breakout sessions like that, where devotees' wisdom, experience can be transmitted in a way that's very personal. So I found these retreats to be very similar to the gathering of the sages. These sages gathered with a specific purpose to clear the doubts that may arise as we execute devotional service. And we shouldn't underestimate either the doubts or the means to deal with them by coming together, sharing our realizations. So those are some thoughts I wanted to share with you based on our experience. It's always wonderful to visit the Holy Dham. It's always wonderful to visit the Holy Dham, see the deities and devotees from around the world. So if the opportunity comes up to you, I hope you'll take it. That's my little mission statement, coming back from 6 weeks in the Holy Dome. Perhaps Madhumati can share more when she gives class tomorrow or the next day. Apologize for my voice being a little soft. So does anybody have any questions or comments?
Very nice class, Prabhu. I was thinking that you read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary that Vishnu did not get angry because he is situated on Shuddha Satta, so as Krishna. But he was very angry when Mother Yashoda didn't give milk. Origin of anger is in Krishna also. Has to be. Everything has to have an origin in Krishna. So I wanted to hear how to see that.
That's described. Where is it? I think it's in the purport today. Yes, right at the end of the purport. The conclusion is that the Absolute Personality of Godhead has neither lust nor anger. And even if there is sometimes a show of lust and anger by the Absolute, it should be considered an absolute benediction. So, Krishna may be showing transcendental anger. In his dealings with Mother Yashoda, but actually, as described by Srila Prabhupada, it's his absolute benediction to Mother Yashoda and to all of us where he displays his transcendental opulences, his transcendental qualities, which are, as you mentioned, Suda Sattva, not products of the modes of material nature. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu. I was thinking that Bhrigu Muni must have had some idea in mind as to the increasing elevation and importance of each of the person he went to, because he kept increasing the intensity of the offense.
Yeah, well, he had a job to do, deputed by the sages.
What?
So he wanted to make sure he did it completely.
I wonder if he had some reaction to kicking Lord Vishnu like that.
Isn't there some kind of a folk tale or something where some response came? I don't know.
Oh.
Is there anything like that, Prabhu?
It says in that when Lord Krishna was leaving the world, a hunter came that was big,
who shot the arrow.
Bigger.
Yeah. And then he regretted years after years and years after years. He realized that was Krishna.
Okay.
Yeah, Lakshmi also comes. That's right. That's where Brahmanas are poor. They're from that incident.
But Brahmanas are poor because of Lakshmi being upset.
Prabhu, I'm wondering if the leaders of the retreat gave some tips for bringing the retreat home.
Yeah, they said You hear a lot during a week retreat. You can make the most of that week by taking one item rather than trying to take them all, being overly idealistic. Your life is going to change just 360 degrees. Take one thing that impressed you, made the most impact on you, and try to make that a permanent part of your life. And come back next year for another.
Can I ask what one item that you took home with you?
Yeah, that we can pray to Lord Krishna to help us in our japa.
What do you pray?
What did I pray?
You don't know.
That's between me and the Lord.
I remember reading somewhere, but I can't remember clearly. After he burned up Cupid, after Lord Shiva incinerated him, then he gave him another body, didn't he? Do you know that reference? Because Cupid's still active; he has a subtle body, but did Lord Shiva give it to him after Shiva burned him up? Did he award him his subtle body? He's presuming, yeah, that's true.
That's also crazy.
But did he give him another body?
No. He's still here.
But he burned up his body. Then what happened?
You're right. You're right. But I don't remember his predominant. There's a Dumba in Dwarka. Krishna is Kaladeva in Vrindavan.
We have a comment over here.
Oh.
Any reason why the sages picked Bhrigu Muni? There was some special quality about him or something that he was chosen to do the job? Any kind of speculation or any...
Well, it would be speculation. Nothing is mentioned here why he was particularly chosen among the sages, but there probably is some reason somewhere that I don't know.
What quality does Bhrigu have, or why was he...
Is the priest of all the demigods. Who is this again? Oh.
But one thing for sure.
Okay.
He delivered the Prajapati Lokananda by glorifying Krishna, Krishna's supremacy. Millions of devotees, millions of them became devotees.
Other points? Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.